ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय मुखं करोति वाचनं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणम् यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणम् हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओके एवरीवन्स अवेक एक्सेप्ट वन ओह ही वोक अप टू जस्ट सेव अ फ्यू मिनट्स द होली नेम वोक हिम अप सो आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू गेट second opportunity to visit here in San Jose. And I guess every Wednesday you have a program on the Bhagavad Gita, Gita class. Very good. We just about didn't make it today, but I won't tell you all about that. this evening, actually, I didn't actually realize that you have a Gita class on Wednesdays. It's wonderful, very good. And what I'd like to do is, I guess, take the opportunity of the theme Bhagavad Gita, since you are studying the Bhagavad Gita, I presume, in some kind of systematic way. Yeah. And I'd like to speak a little bit on that, connecting this theme of Bhagavad Gita to something that was very much in the forefront of Srila Prabhupada's thoughts and plans for spreading Krishna consciousness widely all over the world. As widely as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu envisioned the Sankirtan mission to be spread in every town and every village. Something which very few people actually understood or even believed that it could be done, even as recently as a few decades ago during Srila Prabhupada's time in India. And after speaking somewhat on this theme, then there are two short videos which I'd like to share with you. And we can also have a little bit of time for some possible questions, comments, realizations from all of you as well. That's my part of the program. And then after that, whatever you normally do. You've had already arati, or?
No, we have arati after.
Oh, okay. Okay. normally you have gaur arati. Okay, and that's followed by?
Followed by prasadam.
Prasadam.
Prayers.
Yes.
Prayers and then.
Okay, yes, yes. Culmination being Krishna prasadam. Yes, of course, yeah. Must, a must. So, the theme let's say related to the Bhagavad Gita, I would like to connect that. Let me ask a question. How many of you sitting here have read a very important essay written by Srila Prabhupada many years ago, which to this day has not yet been published. The name of that essay is Conceptions of Gita Nagari. How many have read this? I mean, having said that it's not published, doesn't mean that it's not available. It is actually in Srila Prabhupada's folio. Yeah, I wouldn't ask a question that if it's not at all totally unavailable. Let me ask, I should have asked the first question. How many sitting here have heard of this essay, Conceptions of Gita Nagari? Kindly raise your hands. Okay, I don't see many hands up. So obviously, not many have read also. Yeah. So this essay on Gita Nagari appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine in 1956. And basically is Srila Prabhupada's realizations and insight, prediction possibly as well, of how we should be building communities, establishing communities, Nagari. I think many of you are having connections with Sanskrit, India and all that. So Nagara, just like Krishna Nagar. Who's been to Mayapur? Yeah, so you've all gone through Krishna Nagar. So Gita Nagari means that place, that community, that village where the residents, all of the residents, are a living example of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. You see, where everyone is living according to the instructions, principles and concepts given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Means it is a Bhagavad Gita, we could say, in action, so to speak. In the context of the mission that all of us have inherited, all of us being part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we automatically, just like someone who's born in a family, you know, he becomes eligible to inherit whatever is coming from the elders. So in a similar way, all of us have inherited this very huge mandate which Srila Prabhupada is giving to all of us for actually making this whole material world of Kali Yuga into a big Gita Nagari, you see. And I'm sure some of you have seen some of the videos which have been brought out by this recently established ministry we have in India called the ISKCON Daiva Varnasram Ministry, Promoting Rural Development. So a small correction on the announcement you made a few minutes ago. I do happen to be connected with that ministry, but it is a national ministry for India. Yeah, we are, of course, thinking globally. Nowadays we have to. we're living in a global village, I suppose, in many ways. And there are activities in relation to Gita Nagari in different countries as well. And as a matter of fact, although I'm directly connected with this ministry in my in India, which more recently as well has established its national office, you'll be interested to know, in a very important place called Sridhar Mayapur. So it's in the long building, actually, room 137, for anyone who visits Mayapur. And I'd like to speak a little bit about some of the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada in this Gita Nagari. And also, I would like to encourage all of you to look it up in the Bhaktivedanta, what do you call it, the archives folio?
Vedabase,
yeah. In the Vedabase, it's there. It's actually tucked away. You have to really want to find it. It won't just pop up. You have to find it. I think it's in compilations, section compilations. So it was, I also in the beginning was not familiar with, you know, when I was in India, from 76 to 91, 92. And I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a need for a computer at that in those days. I was mainly involved in village preaching, Namhata preaching from Mayapur, and then some student preaching in Calcutta and whatnot. So I was just not, you know, introduced. That came later after I left India, came back to Canada. I had no access, you know, to Gita Nagari, the essay on Gita Nagari. And little did I know also that Srila Prabhupada had established, as we all know, one place here in North America called Gita Nagari, isn't it? Gita Nagari farm. And what possibly many devotees may not know was that in 1977, actually, throughout his entire career, outside of India, means when Srila Prabhupada came to North America, and even before that, this whole understanding, this whole idea, this whole mission was there, and when Srila Prabhupada first came, as we all know, to North America, the first community he encouraged or established was in your Vrindavan. And I have a kind of a special link or connection with New Vrindavan because in 1974, when the devotees from our temple, that was ISKCON Ottawa, came to know that Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, within 1 hour, we had jumped on a bus in a van, and we were on our way to New Vrindavan. The same for the devotees in Toronto and Montreal. That was a common common activity, common thing, that wherever Srila Prabhupada was, even like within maybe 1,000 kilometers, people would just come. Yeah. So that was my introduction to New Vrindavan, although I stayed there very short time. But it was years later that I came in contact with this essay on Gita Nagari. Why is this essay on Gita Nagari so important? Because Srila Prabhupada gives a basic foundation of how a community is meant to be established. He mentions a number of interesting things, actually. So I'll just share a few with you. And I'll try to put it in the larger perspective of what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And I feel this is most important, actually, for all of us. Anyone who's connected with Srila Prabhupada's movement needs to have that very clear vision and understanding that Prabhupada gave in that small essay of Gita Nagari. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned there are two important things that are needed in order to establish a community. And he gave them in order. The first is that for such a community to be successful, one has to establish a wonderful temple of Radha and Krishna, which he named in that essay Sri Sri Radha Parthasarathi, naturally. Bhagavad Gita, yeah. And this will actually help all the members of that community become focused on the lotus feet of the Lord, isn't it? And because generally in communities, mostly householders, families, isn't it, will make up a community. And Srila Narada Muni, he instructs that out of five activities, main activities for householders, the foremost, the first and the foremost, is that daily one should worship the Lord, is seated at the Lord in his Artha Vigraha form. Householders should have deities in their home. So that was the first recommendation given by Srila Prabhupada, establishing a nice temple, installing the Artha Vigraha form of the Lord and having everyone engaged in worshiping the Lord. The second, which is very interesting, also very much important as well, is to establish, once Prabhupada explains, actually immediately after the temple is, you know, established, then one should introduce and set up educational institution, educational facilities. We all know how, on a number of occasions, Srila Prabhupada, he would explain that our ISKCON society is meant to be, first and foremost, a cultural and educational institution. You know, teaching. I mean, the whole Bhagavad Gita is teaching the science of God, the science of devotional service. So these are two very important and essential features. And of course, in that context, Srila Prabhupada gave another important instruction to all of us many years ago when he was still physically present. He wanted that in each and every center that we have, we should establish a Varnashram college. It follows, isn't it? You have a temple, then you have an educational institution. And he gave various details regarding this Varnashram college. In that essay of Gita Nagari, Srila Prabhupada also speaks about varnas, naturally, you know, varnas and ashramas. And very often devotees, in the context of any discussions on varnashram, or even if there's no discussion on varnashram, people will sometimes ask, Maharaj, I've always wondered about what's my varna, you know? Who am I? The Perel, you know, the oldest of all questions, our identity. So how to, it's a very valid question, you know. Who am I? What is my natural, what is meant to be my natural occupation? What is my varna? Varna means basically one's social occupation. And interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada, he gives four ways by which one can understand one's varna, and that is generally meant to be understood when one is young. It is meant to be, we could say, explained to us by those who are qualified in a village setting, and of course those are brahmanas. Brahmanas and elderly folks, elderly people can help determine, establish, analyze, understand the varna of an individual. And that is usually done between the ages of 8 to 12, actually. So, just I'll mention very briefly, and this, even though one is, you know, most of us when we come, at least especially in the Western countries, more so than in India, most of us, at least that was my case and the case for most of my God brothers and God sisters, we have come in contact with Krishna consciousness well after the age of 12. You know, some who are very lucky still in their teenage years, but most of us, like in our 20s or early 30s, like that. I was like in my mid-20s at the time. So the four ways by which one can understand one's varna, Srila Prabhupada explains, one is by administrating a psychological test, giving a psychological test. He doesn't go into details as such. Srila Prabhupada doesn't go into details. It could be either in written form or oral form. And then secondly, by studying, making the astrological chart of an individual. Astrology is a bona fide science, which is there in our Shastra. The third that Srila Prabhupada explains is by simple observation, by looking at, observing the character, behavior of an individual. Many things come out. And the fourth one Srila Prabhupada explains is by studying the family lineage, you know, understanding the occupation of one's parents, one's grandparents, etc., like that. So, you know, they're all very practical things that when one is, of course, one needs to have qualified brahmanas, something which, again, Srila Prabhupada explained, it is one of the primary purposes of the ISKCON Society is to establish a class of brahmanas to give proper, you know, direction to society. At the end of the essay, Gita Nagari, Srila Prabhupada also mentions something very interesting. He explains that actually after India's independence, or when India was becoming independent, the national language at that time should have been Sanskrit. It's never too late. And actually, one of the mandates that Srila Prabhupada has given us, on many occasions, he spoke of the need to, you know, to reintroduce, isn't it? I mean, our mission basically is the same mission as Krishna's mission. And what is Krishna's mission? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. So to reestablish the principles of dharma. And just yesterday, the day before, I was listening. when I do my puja in the morning, I listen to a short class of Srila Prabhupada. And it's very wonderful, I'm sure all of you have heard and listen on occasion to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. he was speaking about democracy and how, you see, one of the purposes of our Krishna consciousness movement is to, yeah, reestablish dharma. And in that context, it means that one day we need to have, you know, Krishna conscious leadership in society. I mean, not only within our own ISKCON society, but in larger society, different countries. As a matter of fact, many years ago, Prabhupada, in the context of India, was thinking that Manipur would become the first state that would become Krishna conscious. We're still waiting, you know, which country will be the first country to become Krishna conscious. So in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada was explaining, since we have democracy, although democracy is democracy, it is not the ideal form, it is not the standard form of government, monarchy, although I know in America it's not maybe, just be careful about speaking too loudly and too openly about monarchy here. But monarchy is a most scientific system of governance, actually. It is not that monarchy was, you know, for the good old days, you know, for ancient times, and now we're modern and we need democracy. No. So anyways, and Prabhupada was recognizing, admitting, and, you know, we are living in the democratic days of democracy. And therefore, if devotees, you know, preach nicely, then maybe someday some devotees can become elected and become presidents, you know. And then this was at the very end of the lecture. Prabhupada has ways of just saying things, right? So then he was explaining. And what will happen is that if some of our devotees, you know, become presidents in some country, then naturally we will close down, you know, all of the activities for gambling and prostitution and you know, drugs and the slaughterhouse. We will close. And then Prabhupada finished the lecture like this, and all the demons will die. And then he said, thank you very much. Because we know those who are non-devotees, that is their, you know, as much as we, you know, as devotees, our life and soul is bhakti, devotional service. For the non-devotees, their life and soul is, are these four activities, these four sinful activities. Without them, isn't it? And I'm sure you've heard how Prabhupada one time related how there was his, one of his godbrothers was preaching in England, and this was following the orders of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was preaching to one of these very, you know, highly one of the lords, I forget his name, and then he was interested in the philosophy of, you know, Vaishnava philosophy, and such a high philosophy, deep philosophy. And then at one point he mentioned, can I also become a Brahmana? Yeah. And so this godbrother Srila Prabhupada had mentioned, yes, of course, you can become Brahmana. Only one thing. You have to give up, you know, these four activities, these four rules that we follow. No gambling, no illicit sex life, no meat eating, and no intoxication. And then when he heard that, he said, impossible. He said, we live by these things, you know, practically. So, Srila Prabhupada's vision, I'd like to just maybe summarize this for those who may not have. We have one video which and one book which we have published. It is actually this fourfold vision given by Srila Prabhupada is in can be found in two specific places. One of them is in this essay on Gita Nagari, and the other one is in a letter written by Srila Prabhupada in 1949. Now, for many, many years, as I mentioned, I didn't have a computer, so I couldn't look up. Thank you. Not bad. I mean, it could have gone longer. So, and even after leaving India, it took me some time, actually. I believe it's when I started to visit Indonesia. Somehow I couldn't go to India for a number of years. Some kind of karmic thing was there. So I started to go to, you know, my second India. You know, Indonesia became my second India. Indonesia, for those who may not have gone there, is in many, many ways very similar to India, especially in Bali. But the whole Indonesia was Hindu up until about 500 years ago. And so when I started visiting there, we got into some community development, and then somehow I came across, well, I was using a computer that time, came across the database, and then, wow, there's this essay on Gita Nagari. So then, although I knew about Gita Nagari, then I discovered, which was also in the folio, this very important letter. And in both of these sources, Srila Prabhupada spells out in a very simple way what is meant to be, you know, the overall vision for spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And I know some of you may have heard this, but for the benefit of those who may not have heard, I will repeat it, and then we can understand where Varnashram Dharma, you know, fits in, and how we as individuals and also as a society have a duty and responsibility to all of the, you know, I mean, to the entire mission, isn't it? So it's just like Lord Chaitanya's mission to spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village, but not only every town and village in India, you see, all over the world. It was only Srila Prabhupada who really understood this point, isn't it? And who took those instructions given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu literally. Every town and village means every town and village. Yeah, not just some kind of like nice idea or thought. So Srila Prabhupada summarizes in the following way. He refers to four movements within, you know, we are part of the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is divided into, we could say, four sub-movements. And the first one, Srila Prabhupada, he refers to as the Sankirtan movement, referring to the chanting of the holy name and the distribution of his books, which he connects together, which he links together. The books being an extension of the holy name. The books giving an opportunity for people to come in contact with the holy name, to come in contact with Krishna consciousness on a larger scale, And of course, I know that the devotees here in San Jose are very fired up about book distribution, which is, you know, to your credit and to the credit of all the devotees in the forefront, you know, promoting this. So this was Prabhupada's first of four parts for introducing Lord Chaitanya's movement. The second one Prabhupada coined as the deity worship movement, whereby we establish wonderful temples, install deities. The third, spiritual initiation movement, where we train our congregation, give an opportunity, for example, through these Bhagavad Gita courses you're having on Wednesdays, seminars that we may be having, so many different ways, whereby an individual is given an opportunity to take more seriously the practice of Krishna consciousness to the point of becoming qualified to be connected in Guru Parampara, which is very important. Human form of life is meant to take seriously to spiritual life and to become connected in Guru Parampara. So that's the third one. The fourth one, Srila Prabhupada coined as the classless society movement, which initially might be a little confusing when we hear it. He was referring to Varnashrama, and why he coined it as classless society, because within Daiva Varnashrama means that material system and arrangement of Varna and Ashrama, but focused where everyone, regardless of one's Varna or Ashrama, everyone is focused on bhakti, devotion to Krishna. So classless in the sense that we are all aspiring Vaishnavas, aspiring devotees of Krishna. When that is absent, as it has been for so many, actually centuries in India, it has deviated from its original intent and form as well. And therefore today, when we speak of Varnashrama in India, it's like very few people are interested to hear about it, and there's so many, as we all know, so many misconceptions. So Srila Prabhupada's mission is actually these four divisions or these four movements. And most of us are generally, and that was my case actually for many, many years, more familiar with the first three. Because in our temples, most of our temples are in the cities, we concentrate basically on the first three activities. Harinam, books, worshipping the deity, and the congregation like that. We are less familiar with and think less about the fourth movement. But we should understand that actually each one of these is intimately linked with one another. It's very closely linked, and we as followers of Srila Prabhupada, should know that unless we incorporate all four of them, then we are not, I would say, we're not doing justice, you know, to Srila Prabhupada by not fulfilling his desire and his mission, which is a mission as well of the previous acharyas, of Lord Chaitanya and of Lord Krishna himself. So, for everyone's information, in addition to this, let's say, ministry that we have in India, just more recently, in this year actually, in the month of February, there's a kind of a global effort within our ISKCON society to establish a number of what we call standing committees, initiative committees, looking at different, all of the major aspects which can be temple worship, which can be, you know, prasadam distribution, leadership, the need for good leadership, etc. So one of those which has been more recently identified and accepted, let's say, globally, is this Varnashram initiative. and there are important discussions which are ongoing, and one of my, I guess, main purposes for coming out of India at this time and touring in different countries is to try and bring about, because we all know Krishna consciousness means somehow or other in different ways raising our consciousness, isn't it? Raising our awareness about Krishna and anything in relation to Krishna as well. So in the last few weeks, it's been very enlivening for myself for me to visit some of our temples, of course, in Canada, the last one being in Sharanagati. We have a large community of close to 2,000 acres of land, actually, in not too far. Well, it's about 3 hours from Vancouver. And then, of course, here on the western coast, on the west coast, I'm not aware of any community as such, although there are devotees who are interested in. I was very pleased to hear how in San Diego and Laguna Beach some plans are there to start something. They have about 25 acres of land. And so my humble request is that actually Bhagavad Gita, as we all know, I mean, I came to Krishna consciousness through the Bhagavad Gita, you see. This was the first book that a devotee handed to me on Sankirtan. And even before Sankirtan, this was the first book, one of the first books I read, you know, like from India, Indian culture. I'd read a few books on yoga, but, the first more serious book was the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita is not only meant to be, you know, we can learn and we should as well learn verses and the meaning and the understanding and the philosophy, but our success as devotees, our success as a society, as ISKCON society, is how we can actually apply these principles and these concepts of Krishna consciousness. And in this respect, we should know that, you know, the whole science, we are dealing, we are learning. That's why it does take some time. We are learning the most important of sciences, most important of knowledge, as Krishna explains. Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, highest knowledge, which is meant to be understood and I would say realized in two features. Just like in Laguna Beach, you know, they have the Panchatattva. So Lord Chaitanya in five features, isn't it? That book is there. So Dharma is also meant to be understood in two features. One is the level of what we call Bhagavat Dharma, where one comes to know that Jiver Swarup Hoy, Krishna Nityadas, I'm eternal. I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, meant to be engaged in Krishna service. That in itself, right, Prabhupada explains the fact that one knows, even on the level of Brahman, that I'm not this body, aham brahmasmi. Self-realization actually begins with aham brahmasmi. I am spirit in nature. Mm. Krishna consciousness is an advanced level of aham brahmasmi, because it goes beyond Brahman, it goes beyond Paramatma. It brings us to the platform of Bhagavan realization, isn't it? Which is the only platform where one can actually fully experience transcendental happiness. So this is one level, which is, of course, the highest level, the most important level. But the other level, Srila Prabhupada explains, is also of great importance. And that has to do with our conditioned state in this material world. In other words, okay, as spirit souls, we are meant to be fully devotional in what we do. We are meant to be actually living with Krishna in the spiritual world, and that is how we can find our true eternal happiness. Now, because we're not only spirit soul right now, we're carrying around this body, we are conditioned by this material nature. We are conditioned by our body and by the world in which we live in. And therefore, it's a reality. Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita teaches five principles, one of which is prakriti. Out of these five, four are eternal. Prakriti is eternal. Karma is not eternal. Prakriti is eternal in the sense that it is eternal energy of Krishna, sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. In any event, we are at present in this material world, and therefore we have to deal with this prakriti. We are made up of, isn't it, paraprakriti and apara-prakriti. Paraprakriti meaning the spirit soul, and apara-prakriti meaning this material energy, this material body, which is covering the spirit soul. So therefore, the other level of dharma is this whole area of Varnashrama dharma, this fourth phase or this fourth division that Srila Prabhupada spoke about as being classless society movement. And what's very, we generally maybe understand that a little bit less. What's very essential to understand is that the more we are able to live according to the principles given by Krishna, both in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then more easily we can realize that first level of dharma, of Bhagavad Dharma. So Srila Narada Muni, he is the foremost of all of our acharyas. He's one of the 12 Mahajans, and he is actually simultaneously expert in Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma. That's why he's a very important personality for all of us. So I wanted to share a little bit some of these things. Now, I don't know when we should have, you know, should we have the arti first or before showing this? We have a short video actually about, well, if we show one, it's about 15 minutes. If we show two, it'll be more like 25 minutes. So you kindly tell me what to do or how to go, because you have a certain schedule and I'm just seeing things happening on the altar right now. Simultaneously. I understand. Yes. Okay. Okay. Because today is Wednesday, right? Tomorrow is a working day, right? Right. So don't want to keep everyone too late. Okay, that's the thing there, right? And Prabhu, you're there? You're there. You're supposed to be here. just walked out at the right time, you know. Before we, it'll take a few minutes to set this up, and basically, let's see. We have two short videos which were made by our devotees in India. We have a department actually called Media Productions, focusing on, we have about 12 DVDs, basically documentaries, and these two which I have were prepared just before I left India about a month back, and they've not been fully, completely, 100% edited. So there's a few things which, I mean, overall it's quite okay, but the first one will be showing, there's maybe a two-minute section where the the conversation doesn't quite flow with the speech, but it comes back to normal. And the title, Prabhupada many years back, again in the context of Varnashrama Dharma, made a very profound, I mean, Prabhupada made many profound statements. So this one is one of those profound statements whereby he mentioned, just make sure that when we leave, we don't take the wrong one, right? You know. The statement made by Srila Prabhupada was that one of the purposes of our Krishna consciousness movement is to bring a complete overhaul in society and to revert to the Vedic norm, Vedic lifestyle. This is something that we all need to meditate upon to understand what that actually means. And basically it means bringing about some major... Now, do we have sound here or not?
Yes.
We do. Okay, fine. So the first video is entitled Overhaul and Revert to Varnashrama Dharma. It is a series of interviews, personalities like Druta Karma Prabhu, who has written a number of books, probably the most controversial one being, our devotees like controversy, Forbidden Archaeology. He had written Divine Nature along with His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj many years before that. And then His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj is also speaking here, being interviewed. His Holiness Bhakti Dhira Damodar Maharaj from Nigeria, West Africa, and then a few other devotees, all of whom are involved in different ways with a community development and Varnashrama. The second video is a short presentation on a project that we are developing in the state of Karnataka within the district of Udupi, South India. Anyone here speak Telugu? Wow. Okay. So anyways, you'll get to hear some of your Telugu-speaking friends, devotees from Hyderabad, Secunderabad, who are making up this, who are living this project. Okay.